Excuse me. Who are you?
Rubeus Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts. Of course, you'll know all about Hogwarts.
Sorry, no.
No? Blimey, Harry, didn't you ever wonder where your mum and dad learned it all?
Learned what?
You're a wizard, Harry.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. Welcome to episode number 82. I'm one of your hosts here tonight, Gus Manti. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving break, whether they're hunting out on the water possibly still, or out on the hard water, getting a little ice up here. But we're back, and we got Greg Thomas on tonight. And we're going to be giving a chat with him here shortly. We're going to kind of see how his fall went. For sure, ask about a bunch of old stories that he's got from back in the day. We know we love hearing about them. I know you guys and gals love hearing the stories from Greg. He's the master at that. He's been fishing for many years and been around to many different fisheries. But before I get any further, let me introduce the other host on here tonight, none other than my brother Max. Max, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Gus. Doing well. December 4th here. We're still talking about musky fishing. If you're hearing my voice right now, you're still listening to us talk about musky fishing. You're, you know, we're in the diehard sicko phase of the year right now. You know, if you're out there still listening to Musky Podcast, we appreciate you because you're just as sick in the head as we are. And The nice part about it is here, Gus, is we actually get to talk about some musky fishing. So
we do.
I know the last few weeks I've been a little grumpy about musky fishing on the podcast. It's probably come through a little bit in you know, some of our intros and the questions I've been asking, but I can finally rest easy this winter. You know, luckily enough, was able to get out on the water. I appreciate you kind of pushing the boundaries here with me this last weekend.
I sure did.
Pushing the boundaries for the boat, the gear, and just kind of everything. Our sanity in general. But yeah, got to get out with you and do a little bit of fishing on Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And we're able to score on some fish and some pretty nice ones at that. So I guess it just took, you know, days before ice up and bone chilling weather to actually get these fish to eat for me this fall. You know, we've kind of joked about it. You've had a really solid fall. And I think, you know, I obviously have a little bit more limited time on the water, but it just felt like it almost got to be an ongoing joke there with the weekends that I'd come up and fish, you know, whether it was just prolonged turnover, gale force winds, crazy warm-ups in the middle of fall. Like, it was just one thing after another for me. So to actually get out on the water, and of course, you know, I'm weather watching for Thanksgiving weekend. You and I have always gotten out on Thanksgiving weekend the past 5-6 years and have actually done fairly well this weekend. So I was getting all geared up. I'm like, all right, you know, Thanksgiving weekend can save the season once again. And I'm looking at the weather and I'm like, looking at real feels in the single digits, even negative, like one, negative two. And I'm just like, there's just no way on this earth we're going to be out there on the boat musky fishing.
And Fahrenheit for the Canadian listeners is what we're talking about. But
it was cold. Yeah, it
was super cold. Well below freezing. Never even touched. It hasn't been above freezing since, I don't know, it's been at least 2 weeks, I think, now. Sometime in that later November period. But overall, I'd say to give like a quick recap on November, it was actually very good. I did end up taking more time off than I did the previous few years, I would have to say. Had a family trip out of town, and then I just, I don't know, I took a few days of break, you know, because there was a lot of wind and stuff going on. I mean, October was nuts there. I talked to a lot of people, and that was a very windy month. Early in the month, not crazy, and then it just ramped up, and turnover was weird again. But we made do, and November really turned around, and And actually got some pretty good casting fish. We got a good bit on suckers. It still was tough. Overall, I'd say it was tough. Just with the amount of sheer fish that do look at it. And I know we've discussed, and many others have discussed the fact that, maybe before LiveScope, do you think muskies were staring at suckers, like 10, 12, 15 of them without you even knowing it? And I
A
think the
hundred, hundred
conclusion
percent.
is, yeah, the conclusion is for sure. They were definitely doing it back then. It's just because we got the technology now. So it makes people extra frustrated. And that's kind of where we were at. And I know you were at too. Your days were tough. I know earlier in November, you were up for a little bit. And I had a guide trip on a low wind day. And it was awesome. We got an upper 40s and an upper 30s. And it was just awesome. One on live bait, one casting. And got you all pumped up to go out Sunday before you had to leave. And then you go out there and it was pouring the entire day, I think. And windy. Was it that day, I think? Yeah, it was just brutal. And then you had to go. And I think fast forward to Tonka. We never talked about that at all. That was going to be discussed in possibly last podcast, but we decided to take Thanksgiving off and shift it to now. But Tonka was, I don't know, what would you say if you had to put in short words? Fresh.
Pull your hair out, frustrating. I mean, it was the perfect encapsulation, I think, of my fall. It was a great year, but I'll say this. I mean, I think this fall has done a really good job at like putting me back in check. You know, I think expectations started to run a little bit rampant there. You know, just the last couple of years with how much time you've been on the water. You know, just expecting success every time I kind of come up and start to fish and feeling like we're really kind of dialing in some patterns and some really cool bites year in and year out. And then all of a sudden, you know, this fall hits and it's like crazy. I mean, the hours just start stacking, the days start stacking. You're just like, am I ever going to hold one of these things again? And so, honestly, I think the silver lining for me this fall was like, it was just a great, you know, I don't know if ego check is the right word. I don't consider, I mean, I'm a nobody in this sport. So I wouldn't say like that was it. It was just more of like a back down to earth, a little more back down to reality, of like what musky fishing can be and actually why it makes it so sweet then when you have a weekend like we had last week and we're, you know, we fish maybe for a total of like 8 hours and we're able to put some fish in the net and like I said, some nice ones. So it just, I don't know, great way to cap off the year. You know, I kind of joked about now I can sleep easy, but it's true. Like it just totally changed my mindset and everything. And it just made me realize like, man, I do appreciate the sport a lot. And you do have to sometimes go through some really bad slumps to like kind of readjust your appreciation for the sport. And so it was good, but yeah, Tonka was pull your hair out. I mean, we thought it was gonna line up really well for weather, for moon, for everything. You know, I think we were on either a half or a quarter moon, which I've heard from people, total conjecture, but I've heard from people that it can actually be pretty good on Tonka instead of full and new. Yeah, who knows? But anyways, I mean, we, you know, fished really hard Friday, Saturday, and a little bit on Sunday before you guys had to head back out and. We were able to you know, land one nice fish trolling, but the amount of fish that we moved on Friday and Saturday and even Sunday on lures. Obviously, we saw all the fish coming up and watching suckers and all that whole fun thing, but the amount of fish that just wouldn't open their mouths on casting lures was crazy. I mean,
Astronomical. It
it's
was
astronomical. I mean,
insane numbers. I mean,
insane.
I don't want to like try and put it somewhat in perspective, but I can somewhat say that in those 2.5 days of fishing Tonka, we visually raised on lures possibly more fish than the entire month of November in Wisconsin. Like, to put in perspective of how much we've noticed that leechers follow lures to the boat. Compared to
Yeah.
Wisconsin fish is insane. Now
I think that's a little bit of a Tonka thing too.
bites though, different story. Obviously, different
Yeah.
story.
And it just felt like at any moment it could really like light off, you know, if it's like, well, man, if the bite window opens up, you know, we're on a spot that we know there's, you know, 10 to 12 different muskies sitting on this piece of structure.
Yeah,
All
it's not small.
size ranges from, you know, 31 inches all the way up to the upper 40s. You know, we didn't see that big tonka fish kind of we were hoping to see, you know, but we saw some nice fish and had a little bit of a scare there. What was it, Saturday afternoon when I hooked into the back of a carp and we were all
Oh,
convinced
God.
we had
You
a
got a 55.
55. That broke up the day a little bit, but yeah, it was weird. I mean, where those fish were positioning was interesting. I mean, we found fish out in, you know, deep water off deep edges and deep weed, you know, weeds that were still remaining. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're changing spots and we're visually seeing a 47 inch muskie up in 3 feet in sand. It's
I was
like,
gonna say
what
we
is
didn't
going on
have a
here?
crazy pattern. We didn't
No.
have a crazy pattern going in because you didn't fish Tonka for a little while before that, I don't think. Maybe
Yeah.
it was like 3 or 4 3 weeks. Was it early November or was it
Oh,
late
it
December?
was. I want to say it was
It's priest
like.
turnover.
Yeah, it might.
I
I might
thought.
have fished it one time after turnover, and a lot of those
Okay.
spots we'd seen fish. You know, we saw them again in those spots. We you know we fished that weekend, but I would agree there was no. I mean, there was no pattern that we really picked up on just because
Yeah.
we only boated one fish. You know, so still a really fun weekend, good learning experience. I think we took a lot away adjusting our timing on when we're going to fish probably next time if we do it again, you know, spending a little bit more time fishing in the dark. I think that's going to
Yeah,
probably.
'cause that water, as we saw, 'cause we fished east, south, west, and north on that lake, which Tonka's not small, but in 2.5 days we got around and fished a lot of new stuff, and it's when in August the east side was very clear. There might have been the tiniest dinge to it, and then now everywhere is like the east side. The entire all of Tonka is gin clear, and you can
Yeah.
see 15 plus pushing 20 feet
Oh, yeah.
of
Right.
clarity. So that was.
Yeah.
I figured that was going to happen, I guess, but I thought maybe we'd get some dirtier water, but no, that was tough. We were
No.
also dealing with flat calm conditions, I think, on Saturday.
Is funny, man. I can't remember a fall where this weather was like you were just living in extremes all the time. I mean, it was either wasn't a breath of wind and, you know, felt stagnant, like nothing was going on. And then, you know, you'd be in conditions that were so windy, it was almost unfishable, especially with live bait. So it was just one of those falls, the way things lined up. And, you know, it's
Yeah.
like, oh, I get a few days off work to go fish and like Mother Nature, you know, hold my beer kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, like I said, I think there was a big time silver lining through this fall for me at least, and it was just good little reset, and actually made me really excited to end the season on a high note, and then, you know, hopefully carry that momentum into Cave Run, which would probably be the next time I throw a musky bait. So
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. Oh. Fall is overall tough, tighter bite windows, shorter days, colder, tough on gear, but I think we'll have a little bit more to touch on in the outro. Let's get Greg on the podcast here and see how his fall went and talk tactics, talk stories, and all that stuff. So let's dial that up.
hit record. All right,
Oh, I got it recorded now.
let's
Thank
start
you.
it there.
Alexa said that. For your listeners, I'm just doing this as a
A PSA.
and a PSA. If your parents smell toast, that means they are having a stroke or it's morning.
So how are you preventing this?
What strokes?
Well, with your Alexa.
With my Alexa, I'm not waking up till 10. And so that
Okay.
keeps me from having morning strokes. It's more mid-afternoon.
Like you don't wake up until afternoon, just kind of
Exactly.
get away from the morning.
Yeah, I won't have an afternoon stroke. I don't want the people to think I'm like aggressive.
Well, this is none other than Greg Thomas here joining us this evening. And coming live from Lake of the Woods, some bar up in Lake of the Woods that I believe he owns. So
Jerry's Bar, which we're looking at changing the name to, not the navel. We're shooting higher for that. We're shooting more for the headband.
Okay, so you're not going to rename the bar the navel?
That would be great. I would love the navel. The navel of the north, the northern navel. Oh, whoa, my God. That'd be great. They have to lick the doorknob. They'll get in.
And for those that are listening here this evening, before we started recording, you showed us your tree, 20-foot Christmas tree.
It's a 20-foot Christmas tree. Are you kidding me? Santa's going to see that. He don't have to look that hard. I'm in the northwest angle. It's not like he has to look over – you know, Rudolph's left ear.
You guys are pretty much neighbors, aren't you?
We are. We are. Seriously, I spent all day making toy soldiers. They're all left-handed, so fuck you, left-handed people. You guys are all getting toys.
Got your elves up there or what?
Sounds like Greg is an elf.
I am an elf. I work on my knees most of my days.
Southern elf.
Just gonna let that one go. Yeah. All right, Greg.
What?
We appreciate you coming on here this evening. Let's talk some muskies. Let's talk some musky fishing.
Okay.
What's the deal at Lake of the Woods? Are you guys iced up? When was the last time you got out? What's going on up there?
My last day fishing was probably the 18th of November. And I was down in central Minnesota, and you know, it was all right. I don't know what is good anymore. You know, you hear, if you look on social media, if you don't catch a 57 incher, you're not doing that good. So I don't know, what's good. What's good for you, there, Mr. Suggs, I mean, fishing guide service extraordinaire.
I think it's different standards here that we're doing. I think good is being consistent, honestly.
Come on, consistent in what? Like catching 54 inchers or you know, catching
for Wisconsin? No.
Or what?
Consistently getting shots at, you know, large fish a few times a week and putting some, you know, 3-footers to 42s in the boat here and there. Pretty much, I'd say.
Oh, okay. Well,
a different ball game from,
you know what?
I guess,
it's not
Minnesota,
a different ball game. Here's the deal. I mean, people look at what's different, and they think that they can come to Minnesota or Lake of the Woods. And I don't mean to sound like a dick here, but you know, it still requires, you know, coming. You got to survive the skunk, right? Have you ever?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to survive the skunk. It's part of it. I mean, trust me, you don't know how many times I've destroyed people's streak of catching big fish. I enjoy it because I usually laugh at them. I typically point.
You're a pointer?
Well, I do it. Yes, I point sometimes with 2 fingers, 3. Every once in a while, I'll do the shocker, you know.
That's when you know things are getting serious.
1 in the pink, 2 in the stink. And I do that, but you know, I mean, the late fall should be, you know what? It's a blessing that you're out there. If you have a good day, it's even great. I mean, I had some good days in the late fall. You know, I mean, did you guys have a warm October?
Yes, I would say so. Windy and warm. I can pull up my notes right now, actually.
Please pull up your notes. Please, I would love to see your notes. Read them to me. I will convert them to song lyrics.
All right. I got numbers. You want to sing the number song?
I love number songs. I'll sing them like the Count Wood on Sesame Street.
So in October, I got an average high of 47 degrees. The water temp average was 54.
47 degrees.
There was it looks like almost half of October's highs touched at least 65 to 70.
And 65 to 70.
How do you sound like Count Dracula?
No, it's going Count on Sesame Street. Shut up. Remember when you were a kid? Drink milk right now. You'll understand.
I remember.
I'm glad you're wearing a hat tonight because a lot of times your forehead really is aggressive.
It's a landing strip.
It is. I love it.
Well, you're in the darkness. We can't even see you.
Well, but, this is where I need to be. Trust me. Trust me. No one needs to see me. I mean, I look like I look like someone that's coming to their house to fix their plumbing.
No, so there was one big dip in October temperature, like right between October 12th and 16th, where all the highs were in the 40s and the lows were in the 20s. And that was pretty much it. There was only like two other nights in October it got below freezing.
So let me ask you this. Did you see an increase in bites then, or did you change what you were doing, or what happened?
That's the week we got the biggest of the month. So
Shocking.
That was still casting. Live bait. I don't know. It looks like some of the lake choices I made were a little bit questionable in one of the days I went walleye fishing.
Well, I could have told you that. You should have texted me. I would have told you to change that. Because here, let's face it. So the water temperature dropped, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the best fishing of the month was in the first week and a half when the water was in the upper 50s. And as soon as it touched.
So do you see where, you know, like for me, I always see like the first drop from 60 to into the 50s and 50s into the 40s, things start happening a little differently.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, that the fish went absolutely bonkers when that water. Literally the beginning of October, all my temps are 60 to 65. And then as soon as I got where one of the days, the high was 58 for water temp and the low was, you know, 56, 57, we hammered them like five days.
Sure. Now, are you casting then or live bait?
We got all sorts. There's actually one day where we got one trolling, one casting, and one on a sucker in 4 hours. That was
Jesus
crazy.
Christ, how fast do you change things? No wonder you're not married. Jesus Christ. I mean, this is the ultimate disappointment. What? I mean, my God, her head's spinning.
What do you mean by those drops where you say 60s into the 50s and then 50s into the 40s? What do you think happens? 60
into the 50, you know, my mainly deal is I do live bait in the late fall. You know, I'm just looking for that one or two bites and you know, it used to be more than that. You know, 2010 to 2012, 13. You know, you could always make a live bait look like an artificial bait. You could always make it look like whatever. You know, let's talk about it. So you've got your live bait and you're probably pulling it off the structure right into the edge where you're standing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, why pull them off there when you could just make them hit the live bait? And again, if you have a bigger bait presented in front of them, wouldn't you present a bigger bait in front of a bigger fish? You know, like going faster. Like I did a lot of spinner rigs on my suckers, like rigs in the front of them, rigs in the back, making them look like more like artificial baits versus the artificial baits to bring them out to me.
Because overall, yeah, that's interesting because overall, I'd say when I start sucker fishing, which this year was the latest I ever started, the first day you suckers was October 3rd. And usually it's like mid-September. Overall, the water temp I thought was just a little too hot. I
No, it
didn't think the
was. I mean,
return.
October sucked this year. I mean, it was just, that's just the way it was. But in the same way of why it was, I mean, I say it sucked. Here's the deal. If you say it sucks, it just means that you did it wrong. Right?
I definitely
They?
noticed that they still the Muskies still
Who's
preferred
they?
the Muskies. They still preferred artificials earlier in the fall,
My
as opposed to
frustration. I
suckers.
hope I am.
So makes sense that you wanted to put like spinners on your rigs and
Yeah,
such.
because spinners, I mean, because let's face it, I mean, because everybody says, oh, it's too early for live bait. Oh, it's too early for them to eat what naturally swims in the water beside them.
Well, that's
Shocking.
no, I get you there.
Wait, so
I
Greg,
was
when you're saying you're going faster with the spinners and the live bait, like how fast are you talking?
like 1 mile an hour.
Okay.
You want to keep them moving, you want to keep them rotating because you know what you're going to find. For me, and again, Gus, you can correct me anytime you want, which I enjoy that. Where did you go anyway? You're not on my screen.
You aren't on our
Where'd you
screen
go?
either.
That's a weird one to get to where you end.
I have no idea. Hi.
There you
There you are.
Hi, Dad.
are. There
No, but I mean, if you're going, I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, guys say, oh, they don't live bait in the summer. They don't. So what do the fuck do they eat?
Right. Sioux.
They gotta gain
Bulldogs.
weight. If they eat
Topwater.
Sioux, that motherfuckers are gonna be skinny.
Right.
Right? I mean,
Well, they eat them all the time. I think the one thing I was getting at is that I just hate the return on investment. I mean, if they don't eat the sucker quickly, that thing's gonna die, and I personally don't have great dead sucker luck, you know, and buying multiple is a pain in the ass.
dead sucker o'clock. Is that what you're saying?
Doesn't happen for us ever.
No, it doesn't. But at the same time, I think moving or figuring out how they're going to do it. I mean, personally, I think if you're dragging suckers on a weed line and you have a fish come up on it. So I'm going to talk about the dreaded forward facing sonar, which is I call Baltimore.
How dare you? You can't say his name.
And so I've been watching a lot of Harry Potter lately. I love Harry Potter, by the way.
I love it too.
So Baltimore.
Voldemort?
Yes. It's Baltimore. So I'm
Baltimore to
watching
you.
Baltimore, and if you keep the sucker on the weed line with the muskie following it, I think you're really, really making a bad decision. I always personally, when I have a fish follow the sucker, and you guys, any clients that fishes with me, both of them will say that when I have a fish come up on a sucker, I always take it to open water. If you keep it on the weed line, here's the deal: you're just wasting your fucking time. You're making that fish, if there's a weed that goes by, he's going like, hello, I can go down there and swim with those 13 crappies. They seem wonderful. I take it to open water and I make my bait the only thing on its mind. If you're
So I like that decision. I got one thing for you. Do you, when you take them to open water, or I guess two things. Do you go faster, slower, the same? Do you keep the sucker depth the same, higher, or deeper? Or how do
I
you?
usually panic. Or I typically play I used to play a P. Diddy CD, and then I figured out he's a rapist. So I don't play it no more.
That's good. That's called
Yeah.
maturing, Greg.
It is. I grow up lately.
That's good.
Exactly. And then I used to play TLC, but She Starts Fires, and that was also my prom theme. Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Love those songs.
Exactly. This is why we're friends. No, I take them out there. Typically, there's a few things that you do. One is you take them out there at a steady speed. whatever that speed is. And you choose that, right? This is choose your own adventure. You take it out there. Typically, I don't go too fast. I drag suckers at 0.4 to 0.6. So I take them out there. If they latch onto it, if they're like, okay, this is what we're going to do, and I'm using forward-facing sonar, Baltimore, if you like to call it. Mm-hmm. I take them out there, and if they are still on it, I'm like, all right, so this fish is actually engaged in the bait. It's going to, you know, not that it's going to bite, right? There's no, I have not said it's going to bite, but I tell my customers, I'm like, all right, so we have one engaged. Let's see what happens. When I get it out there, people are saying, why don't you, you know, screw with a sucker? Why don't you pull it up and down? I go, because it typically doesn't bite when I do that.
They really don't.
I've tried it. Huh?
They really don't. I agree there. I just wanted to see what you had to say.
Because here's the deal.
Bring it
with forward-facing sonar, and you look at it, how does your sucker hang with forward-facing sonar? Is it vertical?
When you're not moving, sometimes, usually.
Yeah, it looks like a popsicle. Fish don't like popsicles, right?
Really? Dang it.
They don't like it. They go, they lick it, they sniff it. They, you know, it's like me around a bottle of barbecue sauce. It has to be a good barbecue sauce, but not one that has been left in the freezer for a while or someone has put in their taint. I look at it and see what's going on. So the best thing that I found, and this is it. This is, write this down. People, if you're listening to this, please listen to Musky Road Rules podcast. I know it's not couth to promote other podcasts during years, but these guys are more important than me.
We don't care. We love Road Rules. We listen to it all the time.
You're the one. Okay, good. So you go and you always, here's the deal, always bring another sucker into the game. Okay. So if you're dragging two suckers, if you're dragging one sucker and you go out to the edge, you make one guy quit casting. Because you know what? Here's the deal. It don't fucking matter. His casts aren't going to do shit out there with that fish, right? He's locked onto the sucker. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can cast as a fishing guide because you got to look like you know what you're doing. You always bring another sucker into the game. You bring two suckers into the game, that other sucker is going to be maybe a little more lively. And let's face it, let's say you're doing the thing that I do in Minnesota a lot, and you got a guy casting, okay, and another guy in the boat. So the one guy's sitting down, we're talking, pretty much we decide that our favorite recipe at Waffle House is the smothered and covered. And so we go out there, we put the other sucker, we put the other sucker down there, that sucker ain't doing much. Then once that muskie goes to that other sucker that's not doing much, you bring the one sucker up, put a fresh one on, put that fresh one on, send him down there. He doesn't know what's going on. He's like, he thinks he's visiting his cousin from Cincinnati. Well, his cousin from Cincinnati is just talking to the other one. He starts moving around. That one gets bit. I'm telling you, that works most of the time.
Interesting. And let me ask you this. Let's go back to the blades because I'm interested in this. So when did you start running blades? Like, what type of blades are you talking about? I mean, big, small.
You know, I don't run a lot of single. Big blades because the main thing is that, you know, again, you're dealing with a live fish. You're dealing with something you want to, you know, you're wanting to mimic that's alive, correct?
Uh-huh.
So you don't want to... The colder the water, the smaller the blade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's kind of the deal. And when I say small, you know, people say, "Oh, you know, number 10 blades seem to be really good." Well, you put that on a sucker, it's going to last about 7 seconds, right. And that sucker is going to be like, "Jesus Christ!" I'm like, I'm skydiving, but I'm not going forward. You know, you can't use that really big blade on there. So based on
like
the
little size, walleye blades.
Yeah, anything that creates flash, vibration, because these fish have lateral lines, right? I mean, I don't know if they do anything. I mean, people tell me they do. I read in Fisherman 20 years ago, Al Lindner told me that they do a lot. So, you know, I think anything to make your bait look a slightly different than the fish that's down there, I think it's really good. I mean, this year it seemed like gold and copper blades were really good in like the 7 to 8. Colorado, Indiana style was really good for me. But anything that could get those fish off the weed line or off the structure, you know, you guys, I mean, do you fish cribs a lot in the fall?
Tons. Yeah. Yeah. Religiously.
So
sure.
Why is that?
What do you mean? Why is that? Like, do you not have, do are there cribs over in Minnesota? Do they put,
we don't have cribs. No, come on. It's called littering. Oh. We don't have cribs.
Well, what the DNR littered in the water here is like a gold mine for fall muskies. It's almost like you run across one and you're guaranteed.
So is it
to at
crappie,
least...
perch, cisco?
I would say more so crappie and sometimes walleye and
rock bass.
Perch, but yeah, rock bass.
A lot of
is
rock
actually
bass by cribs.
Rock bass, smallmouth will actually go out there when they start to push back deep in the fall. They love cribs.
So what color lakes are you guys fishing? You guys are fishing dark water mainly or clear, or what are we doing?
I get around a little bit of both. In the fall, I start to really,
don't brag,
really
don't
diverse
brag.
It up.
Don't brag. I follow your Snapchat. Don't brag.
Well, we're bragging about the areas more so what's going on, because you got a lot of options. I mean, I guess overall in a given year, I fish darker water mainly. I don't know. Grew up fishing that, a little more used to that. But in the fall, I don't mind fishing cribs. Or sorry, clear water. And there's plenty of cribs in clear water out here too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, that's, I mean, we don't have cribs up here. I mean, they're, you know.
Is there any?
A lot of lakes I fish. Sorry, I spit up half a tooth. I'm not good. I'm not good at hygiene. You know, a lot of the lakes that I fish in late fall are super clear. Weed edges grow down to like 22, 23 feet. And getting those fish to go. I mean, of course, you know, points and flats and all that. I mean, we could talk in fishermen all we want, but I mean, a lot of it comes down to getting those fish to come off of whatever type of structure that is, one, available, because let's face it, in the fall we have wind mainly north, right?
Typically north and west for sure, and then the warm days, south winds.
Yeah, I mean, but those south winds are not predictable, and let's face it. I mean, the south winds aren't the greatest bites. No, I mean, they're kind of that, like, oh God, it's, you know, time to make the donuts. You go out there and try to get them going, but you know, the crib stuff. I mean, for me, I don't fish a lot of rock in the late fall, which I it would be cool if I did, but here's the thing, even with forward facing sonar, when you're fishing rock and you're trying to again, Baltimore, I'm not just looking for fish, you know, like a lot of people are like, oh, that guy just goes over there and looks for fish. No, he doesn't. I don't even know who he is.
It's too hard. You can't, when fish are hiding in rocks, I mean, the only way you could maybe pick up bait in rocks is traditional 2D sonar going right over the top of it. And
exactly.
That,
I
you
run,
gotta mess with your sensitivity. Otherwise,
so,
you're not gonna see them until they
no,
come out of the
so,
rocks.
So on my boat, I run side scan. I run a Humminbird 15. Thank you, Bob Harris.
A mega screen,
a mega
TV.
screen.
We've seen that.
I mean,
damn,
it's
television.
Like, I mean, that tells you, here's the deal. If you get in the boat with somebody with a 15 and they have their like numbers on like enormous, watch out. That person cannot see. That motherfucker needs LASIK.
Is that why you like fishing in Minnesota? Because they're just wide open lakes and you can't run into anything out there?
Exactly. No, that's the person that needs LASIK.
Greg, have you gotten to the age yet where you have to increase your text size on your iPhone?
Are you kidding me? Mine's like normal billboard. Mine's like billboard size. So like when I text, people can see like 30 feet behind me.
Do you text with one hand or two?
Huh?
Do you text with one hand
driving,
or two?
When I'm driving, two. No. When I'm not driving, one.
Do you use your thumbs or your pointer fingers?
I use my nose.
Okay.
You've seen my nose. This thing right here. I mean, my God, I can.
I feel like if you used your nose to text, it would just be complete gibberish because you'd be smashing the keyboard.
No, I don't even lift it.
You're saying
like,
he's got a big nose?
I don't even lift my nose from it. I just drag and hope I get it.
Swipe the text with your nose.
I think that would be the greatest way to text.
Go ahead, Gus. Sorry.
I got one more thing actually to ask about. I don't know if were you gonna completely change wheels or
I don't care.
Change wheels. Yeah.
I don't even like wheels.
I got something to add to these wheels. All right. So for in the fall post turnover, Greg, did you still find some fish shallow by chance, or did you find them mainly deep?
I start using the turnover excuse around July 14th.
We all know that gig there. Water's usually the slightest bit dirty, turnover.
No, I just, if it's windy.
72 degrees, like, turnover.
Motherfuckers, turnover. That's what I do.
You've been telling too many people about that. I think people are catching on.
Yeah.
No. You just gotta, if you keep pushing it, it'll make it real.
You sell it right.
That's what Trump taught me. I just keep it real. No, in October there was definitely a lot of fish shallow. Mm-hmm. And I'm a deeper fisherman. I always the last 10 years I have always defaulted deeper, which screws me, but also I think has given me a lot of really nice fish.
Oh, 100%. I mean, do you think from fishing Cave Run, where if you're not fishing, so if you're
I think there is fish that are pelagic and there's fish that are non-pelagic. I think there's fish that live deeper and there's fish that live shallower.
You say deeper, are you still saying just on structure, just deeper?
No, breaks, I'm talking about fish that just live deeper.
Okay.
And those deeper fish, I think, do go to structure, but that structure may not be what we call typically normal structure. In the fact that, you know, now that we have really good map chips, which when I started, they were called, you know, that point and that point and that point. I also think that when you're targeting those fish, you have to be with the right people that go, okay, I'm cool with doing this, because I know that we're going to reward ourselves with really bigger fish versus people that are like, I just want to catch one.
Yeah.
And you've heard with, like, you don't see them as much out in the deeper water.
You're not going to see them as much. You got to have people that believe in you. You got to have people that blame in the system. Or you got to have people on the opposite end of the spectrum that are like, I just want to go fishing.
Don't care, just tell them anything.
And I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it.
No, I mean I've been with people who, you know, grew up kind of doing the bass fishing gig, and we go to the first spot and it's a long extended point, and I decide to start at the tip of the point, which puts us at the middle of the lake. Mm-hmm. And the guy has a little mini freak out and he's like, why aren't we by docks, why aren't we by shore? And I'm like, dude, look at the depth finder, we're in 6 feet of water.
Sure.
And then they're like, they don't know, they just haven't done it before.
Exactly. And then, you know, and that's part of it. I mean, I There's a lot of ways to do it. There's a big difference between, and then Gus, I'm sure you'll believe with me, Max, hang up the phone. There's a big believer in tournament fishing and guiding. And I've always said that because the fact that in guiding, you are not only are you trying to catch fish, but you're also trying to satisfy the customer, correct? And correct. So you're trying to figure out what technique is going to make this person
have confidence,
confident and also provide them a chance to catch fish. The older you get, the older that I get, because I'm very old. You're super young. You were born in the 2000s. How old are you?
No, I was born in the 90s.
Oh, fuck I'm off. 20... I was born in the 70s. Shut the fuck up. Me and your dad were probably, we went to Hogwarts together.
So what house were you put in at Hogwarts? That's what I got to ask.
Are you kidding? I'm Slytherin. Are you, what the fuck?
Really? Dang.
Maybe. I don't know. Fuck it. I'm learning right now.
Yeah, it's clearly.
But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Ahead, No. I love talking to people about this. You know, it's about what creates the right environment for the customer, if you're guiding or if you're a tournament. Tournaments to me are my time to fish on my own, to play, to figure out what I think, you know. And you guys are clearly the reason you guys fish tournaments are to win money. Me, it's to, you know, sleep in a hotel room and use a fork for the right reason and not to comb my hair. So there you go.
Well, you talk about fishing deeper in tournaments, and that was something that I actually want to talk to you about tonight, because
Tonka, I don't want to talk to you about it.
You don't want to talk to me about it?
All right. Where's your father?
So
I want to talk to your mom about it.
All right. I'll pick him in. We'll loop him in. So at Tonka, you guys fish deeper, but most of the people were fishing up shallower. You ended up taking second place. Why did you have confidence going deeper at Tonka when it felt like 95% of the field was up shallow?
I had my life check on.
Okay.
Makes sense. I default deeper. I mean, that's just, that literally is me. I love throwing tubes. I am a tube freak. I've been a tube freak since they came out in 2000 and whatever year that was. You guys were 7 months. I default deeper in the fact that in my head, you know, swimming down a deep weed line, especially like a place like Minnetonka, which is not cabbage, which, you know, some of it's cabbage, but a cabbage is a weed that a fish can swim through, correct? Whereas Minnetonka is a weed like milfoil, which a fish struggles swimming through, right? It's harder to swim through. It creates more of a barrier type situation. I think those fish could be caught trolling because of a bait being consistent at a depth at a consistent level at a consistent time. Could have probably been caught trolling, but personally, I think if you can provide a soft plastic bait at that same depth and alternate the action, whether a stop and go retrieve, which is mainly a stop and go retrieve rather than a straight retrieve, that's only in that same strike zone at a, you know, maybe 10 to 15 foot period, like a bucktail or anything else would be tougher. I think a stop and go, you know, walk down retrieve is definitely effective.
So what about
I sounded just fishing, like a fisherman, Jeremy Smith, you fucker. Listen to me. I love Jeremy. Jeremy's a good shit. I used to stay with Jeremy up on Leech Lake. He's a really good guy.
Awesome. But I was gonna ask you here on deep fishing. I know you like to use tubes and soft plastics, but How do you, so I know in deep water trolling, the benefit there is you can keep a bait, whatever size you want, deeper, and you can go fast. Do you ever work, like, what are the speeds you work tubes? Because if you work tubes fast, they're not going to go that deep, and you work them
Well,
slow,
no,
they're going to go deep.
Gus,
So how do
you're not telling people the secret, and you know this. Don't play, don't act like a fucking coy bitch. I know what you're saying. The key with tubes is that they're a cylindrical bait. They don't have a flat belly, and that if you do shorter pulls with a heavier bait, it's going to stay deeper. You know, that's just what it does. I mean, and so like a 3 ounce head, and let's face it, you know, people are like, well, they only make a 3 ounce head. You know what? They, who's they, right? It's like my grandma when she used to say, well, they said, well, who the fuck is they? And right, that's what I've always said. I go, who is they? I probably won't be friends with them, and if I'm related, then we shouldn't talk. And this is why I'm so good on your podcast, because I don't yell at people enough.
We don't, they, you don't got they bringing you down here.
They don't bring me down, because let's face it, one of the best weights, one of the best things that's ever been created, and I say this every year, I mean, there's always things that are good at creating weight, right? I mean, weights
Always add
create.
weight.
Always add weight or decrease weight, right? I mean, you don't have to always add it. I mean, you could take it out. I mean, like, to be honest, the first unweighted bulldog, you know how it was made?
They took weight out.
I made the fucker, because I took it and I cut the head off
Oh.
of it, and I started cutting weight out of it, and it only went down like 2 feet, and it works great,
Baller. Yeah.
right? It works great. So like the other day, I got oh, you know the name of it. You're probably a subscriber. What's it called? They send it every week.
Muskie
That one.
Insider
Okay.
on
So
email. Yeah.
they, yes, Muskie Insider, Josh Borowski. Josh is a really good guy. I went and they had an ad on there for stuff. It was called like Evoke or Ewok.
Evoco?
That one.
Ezoco? E
Yes.
I don't
I went.
remember
Yeah.
Ezoco.
I went to the website, ordered like $300 worth of stuff because I'm stupid.
Nice.
And they, you know, the you, here's the deal. The Europeans, when it comes to swim baits, is so far ahead of the Americans, because we're too, you know, we all think we know too much shit. So they have a ton of good swim bait stuff there, but then adopting it to what we want to do, that's the key, right? Adopting it to what we wanted to do is the key. And so a lot of that stuff, you can make it like I got this idea of this swim bait, jerk bait in my mind that I'm trying to come up with right now. And it should be at my house in Kentucky. I'm in the northwest angle. What's the chances of me actually getting this stuff when I get home? Probably not good. I'm also making candles. So be ready for that.
Staying tuned.
Stay tuned. Exactly. I've been watching a lot of Harry Potter. But no, I mean, you know, figuring out the weights and how this stuff works. I mean, the chaos weights revolutionized how you could weight stuff, right? It
Yeah, those are
made
great.
weight systems available to the masses. But if you, let's say you want to go more than an ounce and a half, it's super easy to do. If you own a sledgehammer and a concrete block, you can do it. Just buy a 2 ounce weight, smash it, and you know, a drill. You can totally do it to put it around the front of a hook. Smash it down the side. We've been doing
DIY.
it for a long time.
Interesting.
Why did you sound interesting there? Do you own a concrete block? Do you
I'm
own a
just
sledgehammer?
I didn't Max is
Already,
not thinking about some fun winter projects over here, smashing
I
two
think
ounce
you
weights.
should. Actually, you put it on top. So you put it on top of Gus's toe, and you
Okay, slow down here.
come on. A little blood never hurt anybody.
I need those toes.
No, come on. What, are you going to try to count to 21 or what? You need toes and one more thing.
I won't be able to count to, I don't know, what is it, 20 if I lose toes. I need to count with my toes
hands and one more
if
thing.
I start losing toes, I can only count to like 17, 18, depending on how many are smashed.
Yeah, or what movie you just seen. So no, I mean, you know, the weight thing is super huge on how you want to use it. And then two, with swim baits, you know, let's face it, the slower you work a swim bait and the lighter that it is, the worse tail action you're going to get, right? Because you need that heavy action to make that tail really kick back there. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things.
Do you notice, like, this is kind of what I always break these two into two different categories, is the Poseidon and the Swimming Dog. The Swimming Dog has way better action slow, and the Poseidon has way better action fast.
Sure.
I don't know if it's like the
if
rubber.
You're
going to
use the Poseidon, if you don't boil the tail, which is a term I thought I'd never use. Boil the tail, get that action, get that rubber a little bit softer, pull on it a little bit, yank on it, think you're 13, and you know, get the thing really, really going back there. You know, you gotta soften it up a little bit to really make it move around back there.
Is there a bait that you've ever used just out of the box?
Suick.
Sorry.
But
there
then
we
I
go.
Just then I just wait it. And then make it work. I mean, that's the problem, is that a lot of baits that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of really good baits out of the box. You know, a cowgirl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A cowboy. How old were you in 2005?
Seven.
Oh my God. This is embarrassing.
11.
Oh my God. Did you know that I actually named the cowgirl?
No.
No, I didn't.
Please. How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, I named the showgirl, and then I told Brad and Carrie, well, I named the showgirl because I said, well, that looks like something you'd see in Vegas. And then the cowgirl, I just thought, well, let's keep with the girl name. And that's kind of how it happened.
Damn, genius.
It's perfect.
I'm smarter than most people.
Most people think, or just most people in general?
Yeah, both.
What about so deep water fishing again? I got another one. What about crankbaits?
What
use
about?
Those much? Do you like to use those much at all? Or
It depends. In the spring, yes. In the fall, you know, kind of where I'm at, the night trolling thing is good. Do you guys have a lot of night fishing late fall where you're at?
Not that we've really gotten into. It's usually like first, I don't know, half hour, hour of dark at most. Well, October, there's a little bit there, but I mean, there's a lot of clear water fisheries up here that have the possibility of being good night fishing lakes. I mean, even.
So what do you mean by that? I mean, are you going after them in the late fall, or?
I mean, yeah. Wait, what do you mean?
Well, what I mean is, so like in western Minnesota where I'm at, where you have a big tule system, so water temperature gets down into the low 40s, upper 30s. We get a lot of tule that start moving up on the steep, not weed lines, but so
I got
the rock. And that first few hours after dark can be really good. Not right. Cast. And well, it could be casting if you want to cast for it. But like trolling the big minnow baits, like the 13, 14, 15 inch minnow baits. Mm-hmm. Is that
so
something
what do you,
that...
I've tried a little bit and I have not had a ton of success. So.
You can't try a little bit. You gotta give it, you gotta give it to your all. You gotta stick your foot in it.
I know.
Yeah. Well, it's like when I went to Fire Island, you got to stick your foot in it.
I do need to, because I mean, typically in the fall, if I'm fishing with clients, I don't like going into the dark. You know, not many people are comfortable with that. And I'm not comfortable having people slinging lures around. Sometimes in general,
You
just
need
in the
to, here's the
daytime,
deal. Invest in a
but.
good set of handcuffs. Maybe learn how to do like the knot they do to like tie a calf up on the first throw. Like, are you a hoof or heeler?
I don't know how to answer that.
Watch Yellowstone. Jesus, this is embarrassing.
Not gonna watch that
It's terrible show. I hate the fucking show.
That's what I've heard from most people, so that's why I'm not going to. But no, I don't, I mean, I don't fish a ton of at solo in the fall, and I'm typically, on days off with fishing with my dad as well, and we don't want to stay out super late if it's really cold and all that, but I
I've
just
been
haven't
with your
put
dad. Cocktail hour is important.
Oh
I have been with your
yeah.
dad, and I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, him and mom say what up.
No, I mean
So
it's just that those fish that come up late in the year like that, which sometimes can be the biggest fish, but I can't, and I say this, and I argue about this on my own podcast, which usually frustrates people, which I'm okay with. The those biggest fish of the year, they're not the biggest fish of the year, right? They're the fish that, the open water fish, the fish that we used to not to know that were there, and the only shot you got at them was, in the fall. Not only are they the longest fish, because longest fish doesn't mean anything based on time of year, correct?
right, you can catch a long fish any time of year.
Exactly. So
Fat fish, not so much.
heaviest fish.
Yes.
Exactly. The heaviest fish for especially northern guys in the northern range of the muskie fishery are going to be in the fall. In the southern range of the muskie fishery, it's going to be in the spring, right? Because we got, the spawn time period, which in most areas the spawn doesn't really matter. So you have a bunch of what I call abortions, which is probably not the greatest term, but I'm really stupid and don't know what to think of the other word. In the fall, in the fall fisheries, so those big fish start moving shallow. Well, why do they move shallow? Because their food source that they've been feeding on throughout the year, eating on, are now finally moving shallow. Well, with forward facing sonar, people are out there targeting them in the during the year, which I'm not even going to get into, which I don't care.
Right.
They're moving into the not the shallows, but into the more fishable areas that they are into the fall.
I think I see what you're asking before, and my answer is definitely yes. Fall happens. I tend to lean towards Cisco or Tulabee, as you say, bass fisheries 100%.
Sure.
Because of that reason, you just said that they finally stack up on break lines. They're not as pelagic. The big fish are way more accessible. And I've 100% seen that. During the summer, I'm typically on sucker bass, panfish forage lakes, whether it's clear or stained during the middle of the year. Because a lot of times those big fish just roam so
So
much in
what
the
happens
summer.
like on the, like Eel River chain there where you're at,
So, in the fall or the summer?
in the fall?
In the fall, so there's still actually some fish that will hold in shallow in post turnover, just a couple, not many. So it's kind of negligible. Don't really target them at all. Eagle River chain's got a good amount of cribs, so I'll target those. It's got quite a bit of steep break lines. It's not that deep of a system. The deepest waters are there's like three spots, maybe four on the whole chain that get below 30 feet, 29 feet of water. So I pretty much gravitate to the holes or current,
Current. So do you
neck
think,
downs,
I mean like
outskirts of
current,
bays and channels.
so like current areas on like well, let's say Lake of the Woods, which I'm still learning the current areas up here. Everybody tells me, oh, there's current there, and I throw somebody in the water and it doesn't move. So I'm still trying to figure that out, more than just someone telling me that's what it should be. And so I have some ideas of the current areas on Eagle River. I know the current areas on lakes like Minnetonka.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting a little better on Tonka. We don't fully know that yet. Eagle River system, I'm way more in tune with. And I was saying current only when we have current. So there's a time of year where they do a slight drawdown. There's, you know, the spring when we have a lot of water moving, there's more water. But when it's stagnant, it doesn't matter.
So do you find, let me ask you this. When you find that stagnant, you have to make more contact with structure or less?
They will definitely stack in tight with no current.
So you need to make contact, maybe crankbait or soft plastic or something like that?
I guess I've never really thought of it that way. It just,
I hate to turn this into my podcast.
Well, no, I know that's good. It's good to get it kind of, you know,
Max, where did you go? I don't see you anymore.
He's gone. He doesn't like you anymore.
It's okay. No, it's fine. No one likes. It's fine.
I
the more people get to know me, the more they the least they like to they like me.
Yeah. Basically, Greg, if I'm fishing anything other than a surface lure, I like making contact with whatever I'm fishing, unless I'm fishing open water. It's got to hit something.
I think that has something to do with it, right? At least one person should always be making contact with the structure. One person should be bringing in weeds or rock or dirt or a crawdad pincher.
Yeah.
At least 2 out of 3 cast.
I can't tell you how important that is on like heavily weed based fisheries. I think one of the,
I'm going to stop you there because I don't even think it means weed based. I think it's just any fishing based fishery, and guys like, there and throw bucktails all the time. Well, when is all the time? I get super frustrated because I take people for at their word and I get super frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So Max, you're back. Hello.
Hi. Hey.
Hi, Dad. My phone fell. I think that taking and making contact or someone making contact with the structure is not a bad thing. And that person may not get any action all day, but they get the strike that you need.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I watched one of the larger Eagle River chain fish absolutely try and come out of the water after a bucktail. And I don't remember, I think it was August or something, on a client that was relatively new to musky fishing, knew how to cast fine and bring a bait in fine, but just didn't really quite get the speed down with the bucktail. The type of spots we're fishing, you know, he's getting really frustrated, getting a ton of weeds. And I mean, he was just yanking on that bucktail, just hammering it, just, you know, basically setting the hook damn near to get the weeds off. And that's what triggered the strike of that fish.
Sure. No, I mean, I really think that has a lot to do with it. I've seen that, you know, especially on pressured systems, even let's face it. Anybody can go to a non-pressured system in Canada, Larry Dogberg, and throw a bucktail and have a fish come. Oh my God, what is that? That does not look like the cloud, and it eat it. Well, nobody can do that. Most people can't do that. So in systems that most people can fish, making contact, one person in the boat making contact, one person just reeling and doing something that is, just a bait or a something moving through the water, whether it stops and goes, whatever, is good. And then one guy, here's the deal. Take the bullet for the team. Jesus Christ. We all can't, somebody has to be Rambo. and make contact with a structure.
Get in the thick of it.
Yeah. I mean, it means a lot, right? And if you 100%. Screw it up, if you screw it up, who cares? You know what? You screw it up enough, you're going to be rewarded. That's just the way it goes. I'm tired of these. I'm tired of listening to the guides bitch about clients that are just like, well, this guy couldn't fucking cast. Yeah, well, dude, shut the fuck up. just deal with it. But no, one guy covering water, one guy in the thick of it, you're going to have a lot. There's going to be something good happen.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That's a smart way to go about it. If you're not making contact, I think you're missing out on a lot of fish. If you're fishing pressured waters, you know, it's going to, unless you're fishing at night, you know, where you slow roll stuff.
Yeah, be as important. I've caught some really big rocks at night. I mean, these babies, a jeweler would be very jealous with some of these rocks that we've caught.
You don't keep them?
They're super, super beautiful.
What? Okay. One thing I do want to ask.
Snowmobiler. Look at a snowmobiler. You see a snowmobiler?
Huh?
Oh, you didn't see him?
Wow. No, I didn't see him through the reflection.
Snowmobiler
of the
already? Damn.
Window.
No, we've got about 6 inches on the inlet.
Oh, wow. Nice.
We had a local go through tonight that luckily lived. He lost his snowmobile. But
did he accidentally venture out onto the water or what?
No, I was going back home and it was
wrong turn. Yeah, or
I'm super not happy with him. I'm gonna hug him and slap him at the same time.
That's scary.
He lost his sled, new sled from last year. And it was I don't know if you guys are having the wind that we're having. We're having 40 to 50 mile an hour winds tonight.
Right now, like, yes.
Super snow blind and crazy. It's not good. We were supposed to go to Winnipeg today, but it was like ground blizzard warnings all day. So we decided not to do it. So we just came down to the restaurant, Jerry's. Northwest Angle, please come by. It's a wonderful place.
Looks awesome. We're kind of getting the full tour here tonight. It looks awesome.
Yes.
We got to get up there.
We have Christmas lights. You guys should come up here. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you?
You got to plan a trip for sure.
Exactly. You know, if you want to plan yourself a disappointment, come to my place. it's great. What else are you gonna talk about, Max?
I think Gus had a question for you.
No, I got one more serious matter on fishing. Well, you brought it up and then we kind of diverted from it.
That's
was
not
this
like
nitroing. Yeah. let's rewind to the nitroing thing. What's your game plan there? Because you know, one thing that I've gotten a couple at night trolling. It's typically slowing
down. What
time
of year?
October, early, no, yes, earlier in October, as it was kind of turning over, and I think that's it, really. Otherwise, night
trolling, I mean, my best night trolling has always been water temps in the lower 40s.
Interesting.
You know, when I lived on Mille Lacs many, many, many years ago, you were 7. It was, you know, I mean, we caught them all through the night. I mean, it was, I would not start most of my trips till 6 and end like 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And, you know, many a night was 20 degrees. And it was, you know, 2.5, 2.8 miles an hour. Slammer minnow baits were really good. The deep diving minnows. Stuff that had a big wide wobble on it. I mean, for me in the fall, one thing I always looked for was a big wide minnow bait that would still have a lot of action at that 2.5 to 2.8 miles an hour slow. Typically, some night with a full moon, or not a full moon, but a moon was better. You don't have to have a moon.
Yeah.
What, to do what, it. So, I mean, everybody's like, well, they need to have a moon to see. It's fucking, these are like Ray Charles down there. You don't have to see. I don't know how much sight has to do with anything.
So with the, now that we got like kind of the speed program, the wide wobbling cranks, I know earlier you said like the 13, 14, 15 inch cranks, you know, big.
Something big, a big profile was always
are
good.
You,
I mean,
what's your, do you use boards, down rods, and do you
both
like to go
were good.
Shallower,
Boards
deeper?
were always good earlier, especially if the Cisco's were moving up on the structure. A board ran up there. I typically ran a board. This was before boards actually had lights on them. We had drill a hole in the board and put a little glow stick on there to see it, to help see the, to help see when the board went back and had a bite. But you know, boards always work good. And then, you know, I mean, we caught quite a few on down rods too, you know, run them beside the boat. Some of the big Wiley crankbaits, the 8-inch Wileys and even the 13-inch Wiley crankbaits did well. Stuff that just made noise underneath the water at slower speeds. You know, and everybody was like, well, you need stuff that runs really deep. Well, you know, let's face it, if the bait's running up into 6 feet of water to spawn, why do you need something that runs 20 feet deep? You know, something that runs up there with them was always good. Especially if it just really made a lot of noise and clanked and cranked and, you know, bounced and did all that. Now, some of your guys that fish out in the St. Lawrence area, you know, out in the deep current and stuff in the ultra clear water. I mean, that's St. Lawrence stuff. I've been out there. It's 30 feet deep, visibility, and they're running the, these ultra deep baits on some of those ultra deep shoals. And that's where, I mean, there's, I'm telling you, there's fucking giants out there, that they're getting, but
big.
Yeah, but I mean, let's face it. Don't think those fish come every day. So if you go out there, please, please don't be an asshole to those guides and think that you're going to catch one. Right? Just enjoy the process.
It's anywhere, really.
Exactly. Enjoy the process. I mean, these guys don't need you.
It is.
Yeah, these guys don't need you breathing up their ass. I grew up in the era where everybody breathed up your ass. Don't breathe up their ass. I mean, this process is going to take a while, and you know what? Sometimes you're going to get lucky and you're going to have a great night and you can tell everybody about it, and God bless you for it. But you're going to have to fight for it. I mean, that's just what it is. And, you know, and work for it and figure out how those fish go. And, I love chasing big fish. I really, really do. But at the same time, don't expect anything remarkable, because it's just not going to happen every time. But if you get out there and you work your ass off, you're going to be rewarded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always got to set realistic expectations, you know, so you don't either get too hard on yourself or beat yourself up for, I don't know, not getting, if you're going trophy hunting, you, just like you said, you can't just expect, you know, one every single
get
time.
Get on good medication. I've got a great doctor. They prescribe good stuff and, you're going to love it.
Keep me sane.
Exactly.
Max, do you have something to go on or?
No, I'm good. I'm wiped out tonight. Greg is leading the charge here this evening, and I'm appreciating it.
Thanks, Greg.
A lot. Thanks, Greg.
Well, no, but
it's
hey,
like you should do like a podcast or something. You're kind of good at this.
Well, one of these days I'll do my own podcast, and it'll be all good. But hey, guys, thanks for having me on. I love doing your guys' stuff. We've got, it's December. Everybody have a great holiday season. Go out there and buy somebody good for muskie fishing. Get somebody else involved. I don't care what it is. Just get somebody else involved. If you want to come fishing early in the spring, you know, we're going to get started in Kentucky here late February, early March. If you want to come out and you just want to, you know, scratch that itch, drive down, drive a little car, whatever, come down. I got some great places for you to stay. All you got to do is give me a holler, 606-776-6729. And yeah, come down and see us, and we'll fish down in Kentucky, and then maybe get your hook going somewhere else this year. If not, just buy someone in the family something to get them started in fishing. That's all that matters.
All right, that's great advice. Greg, well, I'm sure we'll see you at the shows, but you planning on doing the PMTT trail again next year?
Fuck yeah, I'm going to kick your ass.
Let's go.
Let's go. Can't wait.
Love to hear it. All right, we really appreciate you hopping on, and nice to have a little chat here live from Jerry's Bar, the northwest angle.
Northwest angle. All right, buddy, you take care.
All right.
Yeah, take you care. Too, see Greg. Ya. Thanks for coming on. Talk
see
to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we can't thank Greg enough for coming on the podcast here tonight. That was a fantastic discussion that we just had. You know, as always with Greg, you just never know where it's going to go. We're planning on maybe going over some old fish stories, but we really, really dove deep into fall fishing. You know, I know it's over with. Hopefully you got your notes for next year. Cold water tactics can be used early season too, but that was a lot of fun. Good to catch up with Greg and you know, get his knowledge back on the podcast. We always look forward to having him on, and I know you guys really, really enjoy when he's on as well. We get a lot of positive feedback, and yeah, we can't wait to see him at the shows. I know he goes to at least a couple of them. He's got his own booth. So be sure to stop by him and say what up. Be sure to listen to his podcast, Musky Road Rules. And you can also root for him in the PMTT because he's doing it again. That was good news.
Yeah, absolutely. Always fun to have Greg on. Nice little inside look at the Northwest Angle Bar that he's got going on up there. Looks like a pretty sweet spot. So we'll have to plan a trip. But yeah, we got some great guests here lined up for to kind of round out the year. And then next year, you know, we've already started to talk to some people. I think we're going to get some new guests on here. So again, we really appreciate you guys still tuning in here in the month of December. I know with fishing season behind us, it's a little harder to get all fired up to listen to some musky talk. But at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, As winter starts to set in, you know, the itch kind of starts to grow a little bit more, and you know, hopefully, yeah, you know, we're just gonna keep rocking throughout the winter and continue to get some, like I said, some new guests on. So really excited for that. Should be a good lineup for you guys. So hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Gus, I think I'm gonna sign off for the night if you wanna close up shop here and give the people. You know, kind of where to find us on the socials and your guide business. I'm not sure if you opened up the books yet for 2025.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't like officially, like as a post, I guess, on social medias, but, yeah, get in touch with me, and I'm already booking for the next year. I'm getting in touch with, you know, past people that I've gone out with, and, starting there first and then kind of opening it up to anybody and starting the advertising of that here shortly. So, yeah, if you want to get in the books for 2025, now is the best chance. The next few months are the best chance to book for the best moons. So, already, booked one over the, what is it? Full moon of June. When is it? The good one, the one at the end of the month. Right when pretty much fish push on structure heavily in smaller systems. What is that? June? No, new moon, 25th. So that is going to be the start of a very good time frame. July is always a month for numbers and big fish. August is overall probably my favorite month for a little bit more on the big fish. and still numbers and great ways to catch them. I love the shallow water fishing that you can do in August, September as well. It kind of bleeds into there. It's kind of back and forth. Early October, a lot of, you know, pre-turnover fishing is phenomenal. First start of the cool downs and live bait, and yeah, and June as well for a little smaller water fishing, a little open water, a little bit of trolling, good amount of casting. So a lot of that to fill in, but yeah, look for us at the shows. I don't have, you know, a full thing on which ones I'm exactly going to, but I can confidently say I'll be at Wausau and Minnesota expos this winter, and I think max two for sure for both of those. And Brian's not on here tonight. I know we didn't really even say anything in the intro about Brian not being on here, but just,
he'll be back next week.
I'll be back. He'll probably make it to Wausau, or at least we're gonna make him. So but right now you can find guide service info on www.sugsfishing.com, SUGS fishing. Also on there, got the Muskies on Tap hats, merchandise. There's some stickers. There's a couple beer glasses left. And just finishing up the final touches on a new draft of a kind of a spin-off logo of Muskies on Tap that we're super pumped about. We're for sure going to do a hoodie. I think we're going to do a t-shirt potentially. You guys let us know. And potentially more pint glasses as well that I think will really be well suited for beers. It'll look great with a brew in it. So we're really looking forward to that. And there'll be more information on that for Muskies on Tap on Instagram and Facebook. And then you can find my Instagram and Facebook is at Suggs Fishing, Suggs Fishing Guide Service. Update everything on there, fish picks and everything. Can't wait to put out the nice little collage of the 2024 season. We absolutely smashed some records again by number of fish, big fish. The big fish leaderboard was very good for inland northern Wisconsin. Topped it off at, I don't know, what is it now? In the last 3 or 4 years, we're at 64 new lakes, different lakes that have caught muskies on. And majority of that is up here in the northern Wisconsin range. So plan to expand that as much as possible, as much as I'm able to get out in new water. Because that's what I got to do, find new bites, find new lakes to get on, and keep the old standbys as old standbys. But bites change, lakes get good, lakes get really bad. You know, you just got to figure that out every season, and that's what I strive to do every year. So and also there's a before I forget, there's a speaking event that I'm going to be doing actually relatively soon here. It's for the CNR Muskie Club down in, you know, Appleton Nina area. I believe it's January 7th at 7 p.m. I think it is at, I think I can find the information right here, right now. Their Facebook page is CNR Muskie Club, and it is Old 41 Saloon in Nina, January 7th, 7 p.m. I'm going to be speaking there, and I think they're going to have raffles, and there's also going to be a raffle of a half-day guide trip with yours truly here up in Vilas Oneida County. So hopefully see some familiar faces there, new faces, you know, people to meet, and have a good time. So with that, signing off, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. No Brian for the outro. Like always, I can't do what he does. So we'll catch you guys on the next one.